Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. We're coming very quickly to the conclusion of the first chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And you remember, he concludes this chapter by emphasizing very, very strongly that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ consists largely of people who are of very little significance as far as the world is concerned. We are, for the most part, as far as this world views it, a bunch of nobodies. And that really goes against our grain. We don't want to think of ourselves as nobodies, but the Bible teaches us to view ourselves that way, at least as it comes to the world's way of evaluating. We know that in Christ Jesus, we are somebodies for sure. But that's a spiritual matter. That's a heavenly matter. That's an eternal matter. That has to do with our relationship with God as sons of God and as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. These are the sort of things that the world doesn't understand and they don't value. And so as far as the world is concerned, we're a bunch of nobodies because, frankly, that's pretty much the way we are. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That's just the way it is. So get used to it and accept it. But like I say, we don't really like that until we become mature spiritually. We don't really like that for sure. And I'm afraid that Christians, in many cases, try foolishly to reverse that. I not only don't like that, but I'm not going to accept that, and we're going to work real hard to make sure that the world understands that we are somebody. Our church is something. We are important. We are significant. Don't think of us as a bunch of nobodies. We aren't going to allow that. We're going to reverse that. We're going to make sure that you have a different opinion. Well, you are kicking against the pricks, aren't you? You're trying to do the impossible. You're trying to go against the way God has designed it and the way that God has executed it. You are actually warring against God. Don't think that's going to work very well, do you? And so we go on in our study in 1 Corinthians on this Monday, May 3. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for helping us. We really do need and appreciate the financial help of God's people. So Paul deals with the lowly nature of the church in verse 26, and he deals with the results, or rather the reasons for this lowliness in verses 27 through 29. And then he gets into a detailed description of the true nature of God's people in the last two verses. And we started into this on Friday, and we'll have to continue it on this Monday. But here's what he tells us. Number one, God's people, we're talking about the nature of God's chosen people, God's people owe their salvation to God alone. Okay? Furthermore, God's people possess what is most important. Yes, on the one hand, we are nobodies as the world estimates it, but on the other hand, we have what is far more important than anything that the world has. God's people possess what is most important, and we'll look at that in just a moment. And third, we need to realize that God's people learn And this is so critically important. God's people learn to attribute every blessing to God. That doesn't come easily, that doesn't come naturally, and for some people it doesn't come quickly. But this is what God is teaching us, and over time this is what we will learn. God's people learn to attribute every blessing to God. So God's people, first of all, owe their salvation to God alone. Verse 30, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus. That's pretty plain, that's pretty simple. If you can understand what that means, then you're not trying very hard. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus. But of His doing you are in Christ Jesus. That's why you are a Christian. That's why you are in Christ Jesus. That's what it means. That's one way of describing a Christian. We have been placed into union with Christ. We are in Christ Jesus. How did we get there? I'll tell you how. I put myself there. No, you didn't. Wrong answer. And if you think that, then you need to unlearn that and learn the truth. But of Him, you are in Christ Jesus. But then secondly, we come to understand that God's people possess what is most important. Now we go on in verse 30. Speaking of Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God's people possess what is most important. What do they possess? Well, they possess the blessings of salvation. They possess the riches that are in Christ Jesus. They are in Christ. And they are in Christ because they were placed there. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus. And then because you are in Christ Jesus, these are the results. This is not the cause. This isn't what puts you into Christ Jesus. This is what you are and have because you have been put into Christ Jesus. And what is that? It is true wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. God's people have what is most important. They have, number one, true wisdom. The world has its wisdom, but it turns out to be foolishness. And that's what Paul has been telling us all through here. If your wisdom isn't godly wisdom, it isn't really wisdom, but because spiritually blind people can't understand true wisdom, then they are easily misled to think that the foolish thinking of unconverted people is wisdom. And by that standard, they look at Christians and they don't see much of that kind of wisdom among Christians. And so they conclude that Christians aren't wise, but we are. We have true wisdom. We have true wisdom, the wisdom that enables us to know God, the wisdom that enables us to believe the gospel, the wisdom that enables us to understand the Bible, God's word, God's revelation. You can't get any wiser than that. This is the wisdom that comes from Almighty God. He has communicated it to us in a book called the Bible. But we need the Spirit of God to understand it. But God's people do understand it. They have that wisdom, true wisdom. What else? Righteousness. God's people have righteousness, that is, right standing with God. God's people are justified before the judgment bar of God. That's a marvelous thing. But in Christ Jesus, positionally, not practically here upon the earth, but positionally, before the judgment bar of God in heaven, I am, listen to me now, as a Christian, and only as a Christian, I am just as righteous as Jesus Christ. I have the righteousness of Christ. That has been imputed to me and to you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. We have true righteousness. We have, we're told here in this text, sanctification. What is that? Holiness. Sanctification, being set apart unto God. Yes, it's a work in progress. We understand that. We're not totally sanctified when we're saved. We're not totally sanctified any time after we're saved until we get to heaven. But we are being progressively and gradually made more like Christ, being conformed to the image of Christ, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8. That is sanctification. That is holiness. That's what's most important. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So it's pretty important to have it. The world doesn't have it. Unconverted people don't have it. People who think that spiritual truth is foolishness don't have it. But we foolish people, as the world sees us, who have, by the grace of God, come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have true wisdom. We have perfect righteousness. We have sanctification, holiness. So we will see the Lord. And finally, we have redemption, that is deliverance from sin's bondage. Yes, verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us. It's his doing, it's his work, it's his purchase upon the cross of Calvary that he purchased these things for us and gave them to us, made us able to receive these truths, receive these blessings. He did that. It's not something we have done, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Bought with a price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. Do you ever sing that song? Nor silver nor gold hath obtained my redemption. We have redemption, deliverance from sin's bondage, and it was purchased for us by Christ, by his blood, which is a literary way of saying, by his death. By his death upon the cross, he gave up his life. He paid the penalty for our sins, the penalty being the death penalty. And we either have to bear that ourselves, and that's not going to benefit us, oh no, or by trusting in Christ, we have that benefit secured for us by another. He paid our penalty. He secured our righteousness, a perfect righteousness. He gives us wisdom. He gives us sanctifying holiness. He is responsible for our redemption, our deliverance from sin's bondage. And all of that comes to us from Christ, and these are the things that are most important. Money, that's not so important. It makes you happy. It may makes you happy for a little while, but it's eventually it's gone because you're gone. Even if you manage to hold on to it to the end of life, you're going to give it up. I see it all the time. People who have accumulated large amount of wealth in this life, and they get to the end of life, and in some cases they hardly even know what to do with it. What shall I do with it? Shall I give it to this person? Shall I give it to that person? And sometimes they become so accustomed to this habit of grasping and hoarding all of their life, they can't stand to give it up, but they can't take it with them. That won't satisfy. That's not what's important. What's important? True wisdom. God's righteousness, perfect righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Those things are of inestimable value. That's what's most important. And that's what God's people have. Praise the Lord. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.